Covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com. The one and only Mitch Harper. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Happy to be on again.
Appreciate you jumping on. I know you've had a busy week with Utah men's BYU men's basketball, excuse me, wrapping up their conference tournament. Obviously, extraordinarily disappointing to lose to Duquesne in the first round. How much does that kind of suck the momentum out of the team, or does this still feel like a organization and, I should say, a program on the climb?
It was definitely a bad loss, and it was one that, you know, BYU, no matter what, you know, their circumstance in the NCAA tournament, they struggle in March Madness. They you know, have the most first-round losses of any program in college basketball. Just BYU comes up short in that department, and so that was a missed opportunity for sure. And because I thought that they should have got at least to the round of 32. They would have probably lost to Illinois, as we saw last night with the Fighting Illini. That's a really good team going in the Elite Eight, but missed opportunity for BYU, but I've said it this year that next season's team will be better, and I still believe that. It's even if they don't have Jackson Robinson coming back, we'll see what happens with him.
Has Pope shown any interest in other jobs?
Well, that USC job's very interesting with Andy Enfield going to SMU and USC's. And I thought, you know, Louisville would have been one had, you know, the how Louisville ended up with the Charleston head coach. I thought, you know, that's kind of an underwhelming hire for a program like Louisville. You know, USC would be interesting if Mark Pope becomes a legitimate candidate for them. You know, the reports indicate that Eric Musselman for Arkansas is kind of the favorite for USC potentially. But, you know, I think that's one to kind of monitor there for Pope. But again, I think that, you know, BYU's a, you know, really good job for Mark Pope. And I think that, you know, honestly, BYU should extend him. And, you know, he's got until 2027. I think he should be extended probably into the 2030s because he's the right coach for BYU. The pool is very shallow of candidates that are LDS, you know, coaches in basketball that would be legitimate candidates for the job, especially when you see Mark Madsen gets extended at Cal. Mark Pope's the right guy for the job, and he established BYU with an identity in the Big 12, so I think BYU should extend him once again.
Where do you think BYU goes as they do fill some of these spots? You know, maybe Jackson Robinson's back. It probably depends on how he plays at the NBA Combine and some of his workouts, but how many roster spots do you think they need to fill? What kind of turnover is there, and is there a place they go, a specific direction?
They've got my way too early personnel outlook on KSLSports.com. They've got two scholarships available right now, one scholarship available right now with Marcus Adams going into the transfer portal. And, you know, they need to get another big, and I think they need to get another ball handler that can create on the guard line or a wing potentially. I mean, they have some needs, and I think that if Mark Pope is – his number one priority is retention, but I think that if you can upgrade this roster and there's a legit path to – you know, getting someone in the portal that, you know, can help this team. I think you explore that. They've already contacted about 35 players in the transfer portal already. BYU's very active in that space. And, you know, that's the thing about, you know, this staff, that they've done a really good job since the portal was created of, you know, kicking the tires on anyone. And they exhaust all options. It's not like, you know, they go into a season where they didn't explore every avenue to build up the roster. So they're already, you know, hitting the road hard on that. But I think that, you know, Colin Chandler coming in is going to be an instant difference maker. You already see him popping up on some mock drafts, maybe as a 2025 guy. And, you know, because when you're a top 40 recruit, that's kind of the view, is you're going to be an NBA one and done potentially in a best case scenario, but you're going to be an NBA guy eventually. That's what that type of level of talent is. And Chandler, you know, he's going to be coming back from his mission later this spring. And I think expectations will be high, and rightfully so. He was a dominant player in AAU basketball and here in the state of Utah. And I think that he'll provide an instant spark for BYU next year.
What's the biggest thing going on at spring ball right now, Mitch?
They're winding down tomorrow. They'll close it up tomorrow morning. We'll have a practice observation. The big thing, honestly, continues to be the quarterback spot. I think that, you know, Retzlaff and Bohannon, they're the top two guys. But, you know, it's a I'd say Retzlaff's the favorite to win the job. I haven't come away feeling like Bohannon's shown consistently the arm strength that would suggest that he should probably be the number one guy. If BYU wants to have explosive plays for the air, they don't want to be a dink and dunk offense like they were last year. You got to have the arm strength to make that happen. Retzlaff's arm's a little bit better than what I've seen in the past, but still, it's a work in progress with that group. And I think BYU needs to hope that they have an elite ground attack. And with their running backs and the offensive line, I think they should be improved in that area. But it's kind of a wait and see until what we see in the fall with that group, because I think this schedule, even though you don't have Texas and Oklahoma on the schedule, it might be in some regards tougher because your non-conference schedule is far more difficult when you have two road games that could be losses. SMU is going to be a preseason top 25 team next year. They won 11 games last season, and they're adding former Georgia players along their defensive line. They're very active in the transfer portal. That'll be a difficult game when you look beyond just the logo. And then Wyoming, that's going to be their Super Bowl. And we've seen how BYU performs in spots where teams look at BYU as a Super Bowl, i.e. Liberty in 2022. It doesn't tend to bode well. So those are going to be difficult spots for BYU. And, you know, and that's and then you get into the Big 12 where it's a bunch of, you know, top 15 or 15 to 40 teams in the rankings. And BYU, you know, last year was a team that their only win came against the last place Big 12 team and a third string quarterback that was a freshman who coughed up the ball five times. That was their two wins in Big 12 play. So there's a lot of work to be done. I think, though, defensively, BYU, I feel pretty confident, is going to be a very much improved defense. I think they're going to be top four in the Big 12 next season in defense, honestly. I think Jay Hill has done a lot of good things with this group. And I think the personnel is going to be better. I think the pass rush is going to be improved. BYU is going to have to win some rock fights this year because I think they're going to have to lean on their defense.
Mitch, we haven't talked about her a lot just because of what's happened at Utah women's basketball and BYU men's basketball was so good this year. But Lauren Gustin leaves BYU as one of the greatest players in team history. What does her departure mean for BYU basketball? And what does the future for the women's program hold?
Big loss for BYU, and kind of ended on a sour note for Gustin as she missed free throws in the WBIT, which is kind of the new, you know, second tier postseason tournament. It's an NCAA sanctioned deal. She missed it with 0.4 seconds, but all timer, eighth all time in scoring, number one in rebounds, fourth all time in NCAA history in rebounds. Very accomplished career. I'm curious to see what, if any pro opportunity she has. I mean, being a 6'1 big, you're probably not going to have the WNBA maybe calling, but maybe she could be an international player or something. That there's more money to be had to obviously in international basketball. She can get something there, but heck of a player. Amber Whiting, she's going to go into year three next season and back-to-back years of losing records, 16 and 17. They've got, you know, about two scholarships available. They bring in a heralded freshman Delaney Gibb, who's a guard originally from Canada. She was a top 50 recruit. You know, Amber Whiting's done a really good job in recruiting high school players. They're going to have to, you know, plug some of the holes with the transfer portal because some of the players that they had last year that they were expecting to contribute, they never materialized or they left the program already. Nani Falatea left. She's already getting high level interest in the portal. They had a 6'3" big who transferred to Memphis. I mean, they've had some attrition already that was in season. So there's been a long-term kind of, you know, the understanding what they were facing coming up in April when they put their offseason together. But, I think next year they got to see some big growth. Despite losing Gustin, you got to start winning more games as Amber Whiting plants her feet as stabilizing herself as the head coach heading into year three.
Mitch, thank you. We always look forward to having you on Fridays, buddy. We appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch Harper covers BYU for KSLSports.com.